Hello guys, and from now to Sunday, I am doing Battle Time, four-part series telling the stories of the four biggest battles in Viking history. I'm Isaac, your host, and you're listening to Vikings, a Spotify original available on Anchor FM, Breaker Audio, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, and Copy RSS. Today, we'll be talking about the big battle of Meldon between Olaf Tryggvason and Eldor and Alderman Brithnoth. With over 2,000 deaths, it was a massive battle, and definitely one worth telling. Now, before we get into the battle, let's give you some backstory. It was early 975 AD. Eric Bloodaxe had just been killed and dethroned in York. After that, the amount of Viking activity in England decreased greatly, allowing monasteries and monarchies to be re-established and a lot of financial gains and growth to be made. The king, Edgar the Peaceful, was a wise and great ruler who helped the rebuilding in England. Then, like what commonly happened in the Viking ages, he was killed at the age of 31 in the same year Eric Bloodaxe had died. He left two underage sons, Edward and Ethelred, who at the time were used as nothing more than tools in the political game of Anglo-Saxon voters. Since Edward was the older son, and his claim was supported by many important people, he was crowned as the new King of England in late December 975 AD as King Edward the Martyr, as his reign didn't last long, as in 976 AD he was taken for his beliefs. He had alienated his supporters, who now backed his younger brother, Ethelred, for king. Then, in 978 AD, Ethelred's brother, Edward, was killed. In such unworthy circumstances, Edward's 12-year-old brother, Ethelred, was made King of England. From the start, Ethelred was just a figurehead, while his mother, Queen Dowager, had made all the decisions and held the real power behind the throne. She was rumoured to have been behind the two murders in the child's life, so she could take real power. At the age of 15, his life was filled with distrust and courtly schemes. As a part of trying to disrupt his coronation, they destroyed the main building of the Witenagemu, the courthouse. Fell to the ground, killing many of the senior consultants. This gave him the nickname of Ethelred, the Unready, meaning basically in Old English, poorly advised. But, unlike his brother, he lived long enough to become an independent ruler and beat the uprising and death attempts. His time in power was marred with many British economic wars he could not face, and at Ethelred's coming of age, he was faced by a long-forgotten foe. The Vikings. They spent many years ravaging the English coast, after many years of peace. At the start of the raids in the south, they were only moderately harmful, but later on the damage and reach of these raids became increasingly harmful to the English colony. To challenge the King of Normandy, he launched a brief attack that was eventually resolved, but showed that Ethelred was not indecisive as people thought. But in 991 AD, he received bad news that a fleet of over 100 longboats had stormed and plundered Folkestone and Kent. Then a Viking raider, Olaf Tryggvason, went north into Blackwater Estuary, planning an attack on the port town of Meldon. They lay a temporary camp on the northern island, just east of this town of Meldon. Thank you. elder of Sussex, Brithnoth, had realised the danger and came south, hoping to make it there in time to stop Olaf from invading the town. He did, and started to muster an army of young men from the surrounding town of Meldon, making an army of roughly 3,000 and placing them to the south of the Viking camp, protecting the city from Vikings. Olaf was surprised but not worried, as the potential of his army was much more numerous, counting in around 4,000. Olaf shouted a demand for a tribute across the causeway. There was no single way to defeat the Norse, so the Anglo-Saxon new leader usually paid them to leave or just tried to kill them. Both usually didn't work, so he was stuck. In the end, Brithnoth thought he had the advantage of the land. Soon the ebbing tide revealed the riverbed, which the Vikings charged across in masses towards the Anglo-Saxon army. Brithnoth, to prevent this, sent a small force to block the path, and to Olaf's dismay, it worked and denied the Norse an inch of land on the shore. Olaf called his men back, knowing it was useless to fight, knowing he wouldn't make it through the strong shield wall. Olaf went into the middle of the shore, in front of the Anglo-Saxon army, knowing the morale was up. He made an interesting agreement request to allow them passage onto the shore so they could fight like real men. And to Olaf's surprise, Brithnoth agreed. His irrational thinking was possibly that they could take out the Vikings in one group rather than stretching the war on too long. As soon as the last troop joined the Viking line, the two shield walls clashed in a brutal hand-to-hand combat. The Saxon line, containing mostly local men, surprised the Vikings, fighting them valiantly, yielding no ground and killing many Vikings. This, however, came at a high cost, as many of Brithnoth's militia passed on the field. Then things took a turn for the worse for Brithnoth, who received a fatal wound. Then, with their leader dying, morale breaking, and the Anglo-Saxon troops fled the battle in disarray. Then the Norse stood victorious on the beach side, but not without casualties. It is fair to say that about 2,500 casualties were taken on each side. Despite Brithnoth's brave and heroic attempts, this only put off the Viking invaders, who continued to ravage the English coast in later months. Eventually, the losses and deaths forced King Ethelred to pay a large sum of money to the Vikings to prevent these horrible attacks occurring around Britain. Unfortunately, this was only the first time he paid them off. This became a frequent occurrence, and eventually led to the burden of weight on Anglo-Saxon rule. You've been listening to Vikings, a Spotify original available on Anchor FM, Breaker Audio, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, and Copy RSS. Let me tell you about Anchor FM, who have not sponsored this episode, but are safe, easy to use, and them and Spotify are creating a bunch of new features allowing small podcasts to break into the scene. My personal favourite is the Music and Talk feature, an incredible feature allowing you to add full Spotify music track behind your talks. Please vote on my poll. It's only lasting 1 week. It would really help make my podcast better. Remember, don't forget the past. Learn from it. Thank you and good. Feel free to message me on Anchor. It would be a great enjoyment and I would love to hear your messages. Thank you so much for listening.